This is the weekly Sunday sermon from Rancho Baptist Church in Temecula, California. You can find us at ranchobaptistchurch.org. This week's message by Pastor Jason Swanson, Our Great Redeemer, Part 1. The original date of this message was the 7th of May, 2023.
I decided this morning to step out of the Gospel of John, which I have so much enjoyed. As the Gospel of John has represented the Lord Jesus Christ in so many different shades and pictures for us. What we've seen from the beginning are different titles, different descriptions of who Jesus is, right? In the very beginning, as John opens up his Gospel, he declares Jesus Christ to be who? The Word of God. And then as he goes on, he gives us more descriptions, depictions. And each of these titles of the Lord Jesus Christ speaks into a particular area, right? The Word speaks to the fact that Jesus Christ created everything. He was the instrument that made everything that we see now come into being. Then we heard from John the Baptist declaring Jesus Christ to be who? The Lamb of God, who comes to take away the sins of the world. That was a pointing back to the Levitical system, to sacrificial system, to all the blood that had been shed, to the perfect spotless Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we also saw Jesus represented as what? The Son of God, the Son of Man, the Christ. We saw him represented as the I Am, pointing us back to Exodus, pointing us back to Moses and the nation of Israel. We saw him represented as the bread of life, pointing back to manna, pointing back to God's provision for the people of Israel. All of these titles, all of these pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll continue to see them as we walk through the Gospel of John. We saw him represented as the living water, as the only one who can truly satisfy. Then most recently, we've seen him as the light of the world. He who is able to bring light into our dark, dark hearts. Transform us. Change us. And as we've looked at every one of these depictions, these descriptions, these titles of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you've already seen, there's a theme going on this morning. What I want to present to us this morning is a title for the Lord Jesus Christ that we don't tend to think about too much. It's not something that's in our everyday vocabulary. I don't go around talking about redemption, generally. I don't even use that word. When was the last time that you said, my Redeemer? Turn with me to Colossians. We're going to start our time this morning in the book of Colossians. As we're going to see clearly Jesus Christ represented for us today in these verses, Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 20, that Jesus Christ is our great Redeemer. Look at what it says. In God's holy word, the reason why Paul wrote this epistle to the Colossians was to show how Christ is greater than all. And in here, he reveals to us how Christ accomplished something that no one else could accomplish. Redemption. And as a result of him accomplishing redemption. He is our Redeemer. Verse 13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. The reality is, whether we recognize it or not, we need a Redeemer. We need a rescuer. We need someone who will reconcile us. That is really the history of mankind. Someone who will offer us redemption. As we've already heard from my brother Mike, we tend not to think in terms of redemption. Why? Because we're not going out purchasing someone else. That's not the world that we live in. Praise the Lord. We don't live right here in our valley. In the world of slavery. But the Jews did. And they understood what redemption meant. In all sorts of ways, they understood what this word redemption means. That only through Jesus Christ could we have redemption. Redemption means to deliver by payment of a ransom. And when we speak of Jesus Christ as our great Redeemer, I want us to know and to understand that when we hear the word Redeemer, we need to think about the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. We need to think about him suffering. We need to think about the price that Jesus Christ paid. And as much as we've seen the Word and we've seen the Lamb of God and we've seen the Messiah and we've seen the living water and we've seen Jesus, the light of the world, all of these tend to be positive. When we look at the Redeemer, it takes us to a gruesome, almost unthinkable act, does it not? That's the other side of this. Not only do we not get redemption, we don't get crucifixion. We can't really pin that in our minds as to what exactly did that look like. And if we did have an opportunity to see it, most likely we'd turn away from it. We wouldn't want to watch it. It'd be too gruesome. It'd be too grotesque. It'd be too brutal. And yet that is exactly what God purposed to have his Son go through for us. Notice how it starts off, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness. That's not talking about Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because he talks about putting us in the kingdom of his Son. It's talking about God the Father, that this was his plan from the beginning to redeem us through Jesus Christ dying on a cross, dying this miserable, very, very gruesome and horrible death. Do you know that some have wanted to rewrite this doctrine of penal substitutionary atonement, where Jesus is our substitute, died in our place, and had the very wrath of God poured out upon him? They've wanted to rewrite it and say, you know what? That can't be true. Because if God the Father really let Jesus go through that. No, didn't just let Jesus go through that, but designed it, ordained it from before the beginning of time, then something's wrong because God the Father looks like some sort of out of control dad that's committing cosmic child abuse. Others have said, no, then if that is the case, then that makes God out to be a butcher. What do you think about those statements that want to degrade what the Lord Jesus Christ, acting as our Redeemer, went through? That we somehow have to soften it, that we somehow have to soft pedal it, we have to change it, flip it around so that it doesn't actually make it seem so gruesome. What does that do? That takes our Redeemer out of redemption. You see, from the beginning, God's plan was to redeem us through the blood of his Son. That's the only way it could happen. That him being our ransom would die in our place. Write this in your notes if you are taking notes, or just put this in your memory and hold it there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 18 to 19. Mike already referred to this. I don't want any of us to forget this morning as we gather. We just spent time remembering what Jesus Christ did upon the cross. Listen to the words of Peter. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. That's what we were purchased with, by. Jesus Christ doing the unthinkable. God the Father coming up with the most unthinkable plan any of us could imagine or come up with. That God would take on human form and flesh and become one of us, but sinless, and then suffer and bleed and die upon a cross. Why? To ransom us. You could ransom people in a whole bunch of different ways. You could do it in a military sense. When one neighboring country attacked, basically destroyed, took over another neighboring country. And what did they do? They took some of those people as prisoners of war. How would you get out of that situation? You would get out of that situation through redemption. Through someone paying a ransom. If you were poor and you were a Jew, how could you get out of the situation of your utter poverty? You could sell yourself into slavery so that your family would be able to make it. And that's what you would do as the father, as the husband. You would basically lay your life aside so that your family would be okay, and you'd put yourself into servitude. You'd become a slave. Do you know what your family could do? They could then redeem you back later by paying for your ransom and getting you back. These are the pictures that we see understood in the history of the word redemption, of the word redeemer, all pointing back to Genesis, all pointing back to the fact that God, when he created everything, that everything was what? It was good until you get to Adam and Eve, and then it becomes very good. Why? Because the ones that God has made to have a relationship with him that is different than any one of his other created works, whether that be animals, mountains, whatever, we were created differently in his image to have this working relationship with God. And they then were brought into that relationship. But then we know what happens. Sin enters the world. They buy the lie of Satan. that they will be like the Most High, thinking that they were missing out on something when they had the perfect situation ever. Communion with God with no sin. Communion with each other with no sin. Communion, a relationship with the earth, with not the taint of sin at all in it. None of us understands what that's like. Maybe just a little bit as we gather in church and as we get to know one another and as we wrap arms around one another, we start to get just a little picture of it. All of this is wrapped up in the idea of redemption. Why? Because at that point, everything became a slave to sin and death. Death enters as sin enters. And so now we have death. We have death in creation. We have death in relationships. We have death physically. And yet we see the promise of the Redeemer in Genesis 3:15. He shall what? Bruise you on the head. You shall bruise him on the heel. Speaking to Satan through the serpent. Hey, yeah, you're going to do something to the seed of Eve. You're going to bruise his heel. Man, it's going to look like you have victory over him when he dies. But you know what? You're not going to have victory. He's going to have victory over you because he's going to destroy death. And from that point on, we see the coming of the Messiah promised. That even as sin enters the world, God's grace is right there, promising that a Redeemer will come. That's why Job talks about a Redeemer. That's why it was something that Job was thinking about. That Job understood this. Job 19:25 to 27. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God, whom I myself shall behold, and in whom my eyes will see, and not another. My heart faints within me. That's all he could think about. When he thought about death, all he could think about was meeting his Redeemer. We could spend time going through the book of Ruth, where Boaz is seen as what? A kinsman redeemer. He comes to Naomi's aid and purchases her dead husband's land in order to restore it to Naomi. He marries Ruth and then gives her a child that gives their family lineage a line. He's their redeemer. We could go to the Psalms. We could go to Isaiah, where we see over and over again that David was looking at God as his rock and his redeemer. Isaiah was promising and praying towards God, your Savior, even using that kind of terminology. And then when we get to the New Testament, and we get to the epistles that we hold in our hands, and we get to a book like Colossians, you'll notice we don't see Redeemer here. Instead, what we see is redemption. Well, you can't have one without the other. So it's understood that there is a Redeemer who is giving us that redemption. There's basically three words used in the Greek when it talks about redemption. The first is real general. It's just it's the term marketplace. It's where people go to buy things. And generally, the idea is understood, okay, you go and you buy something. Jesus did what? He went and he purchased us. And the second meaning for redemption is where you purchase by a payment of a ransom. Where you can redeem your family back. Where you can get your soldiers back. And this is what Jesus has done for us. Put those two together. It's a marketplace. Where were we? Before we came to saving faith in Jesus Christ, we were in the marketplace of sin. And we had no way to get out of that marketplace of sin. We were shackled by Satan in the darkness, unable to save ourselves. And that's when Jesus Christ came to offer us redemption, to pay the price of sin, to offer himself as what? As a ransom. That's what he talks about throughout Scripture. And what we see in Colossians are three things that our Redeemer does for us that prove to us that he is a great, great Redeemer. First, what we see is, you see it, they're all the R words. He rescues, he redeems, and he will reconcile all things, not just us. But notice what he rescues us from. He rescues us from the domain of darkness, from the danger that we lived in. And this danger, it's implied, it's understood that it's something terrible, that it is a severe danger, that if you don't get out of this darkness, you are going to suffer immeasurably. No doubt pointing to hell. And what is at stake here if you do not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and do not believe unto him for salvation and only unto him? But I think we understand the idea of rescue. Only people that are in a desperate state need rescuing. The problem is many of us don't recognize that we need that rescuing. And second, what he lets us know about our Redeemer is he gives us this redemption, the buying back of us, taking us from being the very enemies of God and making us God's children. And notice what this redemption brings. That is, Jesus Christ acts as our oh-so-great Redeemer. He gives us the forgiveness of sins, the act of freeing someone from punishment. It's the cancellation of a debt. It's the cancellation of a charge. It's a cancellation of a penalty that was held against us, that is no longer held against us. I don't think we totally understand this as well. We take sin so lightly, and yet it cost our Savior and our Redeemer so much. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, what? So far he removes our transgressions, our sins from us. Christ has taken the place that we should have rightfully taken. He took our penalty on our behalf. He acted as our substitute. Just as the ram caught in the thickets for Isaac, as God provided for Isaac, all of that, that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to act as our Redeemer. And then finally, we see in verses 16, 17, 18, what a great Redeemer we have and how we can trust him, that his work of redemption did accomplish what he set out to do, what God the Father purposed. You don't want me as your Redeemer. You don't want yourself as your Redeemer. You will fall short. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. This is what we see. He's the image of the invisible God. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the sovereign God over all. And as a result, we can entrust our future and the redemption of our very souls, taking us from the darkness and putting us in the light. We can entrust that to the Lord Jesus Christ and know that we are secure. Amen? And then finally, in verses 19 and 20, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. That's how we know what God is like through the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was that exact representation of God in human form and living flesh. And through him, look at this, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through what? The blood of his cross. It's an instrument of torture that was turned into an instrument of grace. The cross is something we should rejoice in, not try to put aside, but rejoice in how good our Redeemer is, as he is the one who reconciles all things. To reconcile, at its core, means a change of relationship. It's the idea of two friends who used to at one time get along and there was nothing between them. And then some sort of grudge, some sort of grievance, and in Papua New Guinea we call it a heavy. A heavy came up, and then that relationship was severed. And then there was separation. What is understood in reconciling between us and God is that there was only one who could do this. That we were the very enemies of God. And because of what Jesus Christ did, he reconciled us. He brought us together. He brought us back to God. He restored our right relationship between us and God, that we might now commune with God and not have our sin counted against us and keep us separated from him. But that's not all that our oh-so-great Redeemer does. As I said in the beginning, as sin entered the world, it wasn't just the relationship between Adam and Eve that changed. And that did change. There was now shame put into their relationship. There was now animosity and anger. Before that, they never got mad at each other the way that you and I do as husband and wife. They didn't have a hard time communicating the way that you and I do. And then sin entered and that changed. But it wasn't just that changed. It was their relationship with God that changed. And it was also creation itself that changed. In all of those aspects, our relationship with one another, our relationship with our God, and even our relationship with creation and creation itself and its relationship with us will be changed. I mean, what do you do with verses that speak about how in Isaiah 11, 6 to 9, the calf and the lion will lie down together? The cow and the bear will graze together. Oh yeah, let's go out and get some food. No, the lion should and the bear should, they should be eating the cow. Or how about this? A nursing child will play in the hole of the cobra. Everything will be made right. And it all points back to redemption and our great Redeemer. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6:20, let me close with this. It says, you have been bought with a price. Therefore what? Glorify God in your body. Let's continue rejoicing this morning. Hasn't this been a sweet morning? Centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that we have done, remembering his great atonement, his great death on our behalf. Another way that we can remember the Lord Jesus Christ and give him honor and glory this morning as we gather together as a church. And one of the commandments that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us, one of the holy sacraments along with sharing in communion, the Lord's table, is this here, baptism. And praise the Lord that one of our kids here approached their parents, talked with Pastor Shane, and wanted to come forward and share her faith with all of us. And let us all know, I am his, he is mine. My life is not what it used to be. I am now new. I was crucified with Christ. I was buried with Christ, and now I've been raised to life with him. If you have children in childcare, if you could please get up right now and go get them. We want to have everybody present for this. That would be awesome. I'm going to make my way over to the back koozie. That's what we call it. And we're going to go ahead and have a baptism. We'll have a song as we do this. Let me just pray for the baptism that we're about to all take part in. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for our great Redeemer. Thank you for all that we have because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that if anyone here has not trusted in you, Lord Jesus, as their Redeemer, as the one who paid their debt, as the one who paid their ransom, their sin debt, that they would trust in you this morning, and only in you, that they would recognize, like all of us here gathered together this morning, that they are a sinner in need of help, in need of a Savior, in need of a Redeemer. And I pray that you would cause them to turn to you this morning and trust in you alone, Lord Jesus, as their Savior. And be with us now as we continue our time worshiping you in song and baptism and the rest of the morning. In Jesus' name, amen.